16 is where we'll be at tonight. Judges chapter 16. And again, thank you for the opportunity. We are privileged to be here. We're going to look at a few verses here, starting in verse 15 of Judges. Do we have water at all? Judges chapter 16, verse 15. Yeah, I know I'm going to struggle here a little bit with my cold here. So Judges chapter 16, verse 15. And then we'll read down to verse 22. We're going to talk about the story of Samson here today. And I may go to the handheld here because I like to move around a little bit. But actually, yeah, I'll go to that if that's all right. All right. Two switches. All right, there we go. All right, Judges chapter 16, verse 15. We're going to talk about the story of Samson here. And I started working here not too long ago as a part-time on-call at a place called Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And it's a drug and addictions facility, and working with these young men, sometimes a little bit older men, that have addictions. And it's been an interesting experience for me, but I'm thankful for the opportunities that I have here. But what I'm getting at is a lot of times I'll be sitting there talking to them, and I'll be like, oh yeah, you know the story we all know about David and Goliath. And they're like, huh? I've never heard that before. And it's interesting to me because I grew up in a church my entire life, and everyone I know knows that story of David and Goliath. Everyone I know knows these stories of Samson and knows these stories. But I've learned that not everyone knows these stories. But we're going to get into the story of Samson here a little bit. Thank you. And we're going to talk about Samson here. And Samson, those of us that know Samson, he was a mighty man. And Samson was a man that God had blessed very much. And we know that he had great strength. And we're going to get into this, and we're going to start reading here where he's with Delilah. And now Delilah has tried to figure out what his strength was. And Delilah, those of us that know the story, I'll tell it briefly here. Samson said, well, you have to bound me up a certain way. And he did that, and he broke the binds as they were trying to cut his hair. And that happened a few different times. And all of a sudden, it leads up to where we're going to read here in our verse. In verse 15, it says, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, verse 17, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. I want to speak to you this evening on the subject, don't go to the wrong barber. Don't go to the wrong barber. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank for this day. We thank for what you do for us. We thank for the opportunity to hear from your word. And Lord, I pray that you will use me as your speaker here tonight of your word. Help me to say the things diligently that you would have me to say. And Lord, just bless our time and help us as we go our ways to take something from your word tonight. We love you in your name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been to the wrong barber a few times. I'm not the type of person that's real picky, that has the same barber they go to. I'm the type of person where I want to go where I get the best deal. The best deal to me sometimes is free, right? You know? When you're at Bible college and you're wanting to get a haircut, you don't care who, if they have clippers and they say that they've done it before, you're like, okay, I don't have the money. I'm paying it on my school bill. You know, I need to eat. That's more important than, you know, maybe I'll just keep my hair short. And well, I was sitting there one time, and one of my friends, and I'd seen him cut a few people's hair, and it turned out okay, you know. It wasn't fantastic, but it was, you know, shaved and short, and it was good. And all of a sudden he starts cutting my hair, and I hear, uh-oh. No. I'm like, what happened? How can you mess up a short haircut? And what happened was is he didn't secure the guard on the razor, and it fell off, and he clipped a chunk in the back of my hair. Oh, I was like, man. And so I had to go get it even shorter and get it fixed. But that doesn't compare into the comparison to, like I said, I'm going to tell a little bit of my antics when I was younger. I decided I was going to be a barber when I was about 7 years old. I have a brother who's about 19 months younger than me. And we had a Christmas program coming up. And we shared rooms. And we had bunk beds. And I had some scissors. And I just got this brilliant idea that my brother needed to look sharp for our Christmas program. And so, you know, we're at night, we're there, and I'm clipping his hair and all of this, and it's looking great. And you know, I feel like I should be the next top barber, and maybe we should have a reality TV show or something, and next top barber, and maybe that should be me. You know, the next morning, my dad and mom, they weren't too thrilled about my, as chunks of hair were gone here. He still had a full head of hair here. Chunks of hair were gone here, and he basically had to get in his entire head buzzed so there was nothing on his head. Don't go to the wrong barber. You know, we have there's different illustrations, different things that we could talk about, and Samson obviously went to the wrong barber. He wasn't supposed to get his hair cut, and we know that. And God had blessed him in this, and this was something that God has said, you know, this is, if you want to lose your strength, get your hair cut. And he had given him, and Samson had already started down the path that had led him to this point. And honestly, when a sin comes into our life and things happen in our lives, they don't just happen overnight. You know, Samson didn't just end up with those clippers on his head that night. It started with a lot of smaller decisions that he made. Samson, he was a mighty man. We all know this story. Most of us, we should, that we've heard of Samson, and we've heard of what Samson was capable of. He was probably the strongest man ever to live. Samson was strong, but we must understand who gave him his strength. A lot of times we think his strength came from his hair. However, I believe God was the one who blessed Samson with his strength. When God blesses you, he expects you to use the blessings for him and not for self-gratification. Samson had a gift from God. For example, he took the doors of the gate to Gaza and carried it to the top of a hill near Hebron. For you to understand a little better, from Gaza to Hebron, it was about 40 miles. Not just anybody could do that, but Samson did. We also know that he took a jawbone in Judges 15 and slew 1,000 Philistines by himself. We also have heard this story about how he caught 3,000 foxes, tied their tails together, set them on fire, and burned the Philistines' fields down by himself. He basically took on the Philistines all by himself and won. We're talking about a man that went into battle with a whole group of people. Hey, man, what a spectacular scene of what God can do with one man. And how he can take one man and use that one man to do something great. Man, Samson had it all. He had everything, and he had God on his side. He basically took him down. Samson was truly blessed by the Lord, but Samson was in the wrong barbershop. Well, how did he get there? Chapter 16, we see Samson in a totally different light. We no longer see him as a strong, tough guy. He is no longer that dominating strong man. In the text we just read, we see what happened to him. When a man begins to play with the power and the blessings of God, he is headed to a place where God has not intended him to be. Listen to this sad phrase in verse 20. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. How do you know if you're in the wrong place? When the Lord has departed from you. Or when the Lord is not in that place. You have to understand, it was never Samson's intentions to lose his power with God. It was never his intention to be conquered by the Philistines. It was never his intention to end up in prison house of the enemy. But he ended up there. How did he end up there? It all started with dabbling in sin. And soon dabbling became fully into a life of sin and a life away from God. Samson probably said, like a lot of Christians today, I'm not going that far. I just want to see what the world has to offer and what it is really like. Make sure you don't go to the wrong barbershop. Samson permitted his hair to be cut and his life was forever changed. Your life will be changed too if you end up in the devil's barbershop and allow him to influence you. It's not that bad though. Listen, tonight I want to share with you five costs of being where you don't belong. Number one, the cost of losing your name. You know, I preach a lot to teenagers. And this may somewhat come across as a message to teenagers, but I believe that there's something for everyone in this message. And something that we can learn from the life of Samson and the understanding that, hey, you know, maybe you're in the right place. Maybe it's for you to say, stay in the right place. Maybe there's some areas in your life where you're not in the right place. Maybe it's to encourage you to get out of that wrong barbershop and to get back with God. The cost of losing your name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and favor rather than silver and gold. Listen, a lot of people, I know for me, I can speak about myself, and I'm thankful for the opportunities I have when studying for messages and getting the opportunity to open my Bible. What a blessing that is, that we in America, we can openly, freely read our Bible. You know, I was thankful that on the train, I could open my Bible and I could read it without someone coming by and arresting me. I was thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for the opportunity that every week I get to stand up with my 7th and 8th grade Bible class that I teach, or my 6th, 7th, and 8th grade Christian manhood, and I get to start my classes with a word of prayer. What a blessing that is. You know what? These freedoms that we have, and the name that I've been given, and Eric McKay, and the people, and the heritage that I have. Boy, that's something I would not want to lose. What about you? Listen, I work with drug addicts and alcoholics, and there's nothing harder for me than sitting there as one of them's on the phone, realizing that their name has gone down the drain in some fashion or another. Their heritage is not the same as mine. And the other day, just hearing this young man say, Mom, you're on drugs again, aren't you? I never had to deal with that. Oh, man, I'm thankful. But listen, at the same point, I could be like Samson. I'm blessed. And this is the thing. Samson was a lot like these teenagers that I work with that are good Christian kids, that go to Christian school, that do what they're supposed to do, that read the Bible, that pray, that have had it all their entire lives. But somehow they end up in the barbershop of the devil. Somehow they end up throwing it all away, their name. They don't care about that. And then they say, how do I end up at this point in my life? Psalm 16:6 says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I'm thankful for my heritage. Listen, all of us, if we go by the name Christian, we have a goodly heritage. Christian, and I'm thankful I'm a Christian. I'm thankful that my name bears the name of Christ in it, and I'm thankful for that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Are we being examples? The right examples? To our families? To our neighbors? The cost of losing your name, a goodly heritage, effect of your future family. What do you think when you hear the name Samson? Do you think honor or shame? Do you think of someone that took down all of those Philistines, or do you think of someone that ended up with his hair cut, his eyes poked out, thrown in jail? What do you think when you think of the name of Samson? What are people going to think when your name is brought up. At one point, he was a very respected man. He was a man that the people looked to. He was a man that conquered. He was a man that was on top. But that's exactly what he was. He was a man. He was a man. And when we are a man by ourselves and separate ourselves from God, we are nothing. Who is Samson? Honor or shame? He was a respected man. You know his name means sunlight? Sunlight is supposed to bring happiness, cleansing, healing. It speaks of strength, heavenly matters. Sunlight brings a new day. It brings light. Does that sound like Samson? Samson had the potential to be great. Young people, let me tell you this, in this room, if you're a teenager, younger, you have the potential to be great. Listen, I'm telling you, you have the potential to do something great for God. Every single one of you in here, you can do something great for God. You know, you could be up here preaching. You know, I'm the type of person, I did not want to speak in front of people. I hated it. My freshman year of speech in college, I wanted to hide behind the podium. I didn't want to talk in front of people. I still get nervous every time I get up here. But I'm thankful that God gives me these opportunities. Young people, it could be you. God could use you somewhere, maybe in this state, maybe in this country somewhere, maybe in another country. But listen, you have the opportunity, the potential to be great, to be used by God. Listen, instead of all this, his name was blemished by sin, by lust, and even by shame. Your name, it came from your father. It was all he had to give, so it's yours to use and cherish. As long as you may live, if you lose the watch he gave you, it can always be replaced. But a black mark on your name, son, can never be replaced. It was a clean the day you took it, and a worthy name to bear. When I got it from my father, there was no dishonor there. So make sure you guard it wisely. After all is said and done, you will be glad the name is spotless when you give it to your son. Samson was not aware that getting his hair cut in the wrong barber shop would cost him his name, but it did. Secondly, it cost him his freedom. It cost him his freedom. Listen, if you're in the wrong place, if you're dabbling in sin, get away from that. Listen, I know this is maybe a strong message for someone that's an outsider coming in to preach, but I just want to help people because our world needs every single Christian. And if you're starting to dabble in sin, before too long, Satan's going to have his stronghold on you and you're going to be in the wrong barbershop. And if I can do anything to give a warning, that's what I want to do. I want to warn. I want to say, listen, it could cost you your freedom. Listen, I have a cousin right now that was mentioned that's laying and about to die on a hospital bed because he didn't realize this. It cost him his freedom. Listen, Samson in verse 20, he fell into bondage with sin. Verse 21, he fell into bondage to the Philistines. He became a servant of sin. Are we serving sin, lust, cheating, stealing, gambling? You know, maybe not at the casinos, but parents, what about gambling with your kids' future by decisions you make? Kids, what about gambling with your future? There are people with rock music right on your iPod. You are gambling. There are those that don't watch the right type of movies. You are gambling. Some are like Samson, living on the edge of Christianity and letting your feet dangle over into the world. You are gambling.
Right.
Sin will always take what you have, and it will never give you back anything. If you gamble with sin, you will lose. Notice the temptation. It didn't come all at once. Listen, it's not going to entangle you. Oh, well, I got away with it this time. And slowly you start to separate yourself from God. Slowly you start to lose your freedom. Listen, Samson couldn't have done it without God. Don't put yourself in a compromising position. The Bible says, flee also youthful lust. It doesn't say walk away. It doesn't say stay for a little while. It says flee. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of pure hearts. Listen, sin is stronger than you. Don't think, oh, it's okay. I'm stronger than this sin right now. Whatever sin it is, I don't care how little it is or how big it is. Listen, that sin is stronger than you, and you need God to help you with that. Listen, even Jesus in the Bible used the Word of God to defeat Satan. Listen, you need God. You need His help. Sin is not stronger than God. You will lose your freedom if you play with sin. Monkey trappers in North Africa had a clever method of catching their prey. A number of gourds are filled with nuts and firmly fastened to a branch of a tree. Each has a hole just large enough for the unwary monkey to stick his forepaw into it. When the hungry animal discovers this, he quickly grasps a handful of nuts, but the hole is too small for him to withdraw his clenched fist. And he doesn't have enough sense to open his hand and let go in order to escape. So he is easily taken captive. Listen, this is a picture of many Christians. The devil, with his crafty devices, has tried to ensnare you. He appeals to the appetites of the flesh, which can lead to their spiritual downfall. As long as they hold on to worldly bait, they cannot escape from Satan's trap. But he keeps on urging, don't let go. Don't let go. You'll be okay. Hey, Eve, it's okay. You'll be okay, Eve. You can eat that fruit. Hey, it's okay, young person, to have that on your cell phone. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. The lyrics are good, though. It's okay. That movie, you know, it didn't have that much cussing in it. It's okay. It's not that bad. Listen, are you willing to lose your freedom over it? The words of Dag Hammarskjöld, Secretary General of the UN in the mid and late 1950s, throb with wisdom. You cannot play with the animal in you without becoming holy animal. Play with the falsehood without forfeiting your right to truth. Play with cruelty without losing your sensitivity of mind. He who wants to keep his garden tidy doesn't reserve a plot for weeds. Going to the wrong barber also cost Samson his freedom. Number three, moving quickly, it cost him his proper vision. When someone is living in sin, they cannot see it for themselves. Listen, I remember playing basketball, running up and down the court, and thinking I was playing great. And all of a sudden, my coach took me out and sat me on the bench and started yelling at me. I'm like, what are you yelling at? I just scored, and I just played good defense. Well, Eric, you weren't doing this. And you weren't doing this. And I'm like, oh, but I thought I was playing great. You know what? The coach can see it a lot better than the player. And I didn't believe him almost. So he took me after the game and sat me down and turned on the film. And you know what? He was right. Because I didn't have the proper vision. And that's exactly what sin is going to do to us. It puts that blinders on us. Oh, you know what? I go to church, though. I donate to this charity, though. I do this. And listen, I have this little secret sin, though. And the Holy Spirit, your coach, is like, hey, you know what? Get on the bench. You're messing up. No, I'm okay. I'm okay. Listen. If the coaches don't take me out of the game, we might lose it. Holy Spirit, if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit saying, hey, listen, you're doing what's wrong, you're going to lose the game. Do you have the proper vision? The devil will blind you. There's success stories we see in Job and how he was successful with the temptation. We see the failure story in Adam and Eve. We see another success story in Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. We see another failure story in David and Bathsheba. You know what's great about the Bible? Is the Bible gives us story after story on what to do and what not to do. It's that simple, and it's so simple that even us as kids, you know, I still think myself as a kid. You know, with youth, you have to. But us as kids, we have to understand that too. We can be successful. And these stories, even the kids can understand it. Even the kids can understand it. When you go to the devil's barbershop, though, you will lose your spiritual eyesight. Why do you think people aren't going soul winning anymore? Why do you think other churches that aren't independent fundamental Baptists are doing more soul winning than us? It's because they've lost their vision. They've lost their vision in some way or so, some fashion. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's something has gotten in the way. And listen, we lose the opportunity to see the souls that are right in front of us. And I remember an old preacher saying, and I remember reading about it, how every time he shook someone's hand, he wondered if they were saved. How about you? Every person you come across, do you wonder what that person's salvation story is? Do you have that? Does the Holy Spirit get in your heart and say, hey, you know what? Maybe you need to tell that person about Jesus. Because you know what? Maybe if you don't, who will? But the thing is we will never see that if we're blinded by the sin in our lives. We don't see the people in need. We need to have a godly vision. Going to the wrong barber cost Samson his name, his freedom, and his eyes. Number four, it cost him many relationships. Listen, relationships. When I'm working with the youth, it's something that is a motto of mine is building relationships. And myself and my wife, Terry, we want to build relationships with the parents, and we want to build relationships with the teenagers, and we want to encourage the parents to have relationships with their teenagers, and the teenagers to have relationships with the teenagers. But most importantly, for us to have a relationship with God. And that's what we want to stress because we believe that building relationships breeds response. But we believe that not building relationships breeds rebellion. And listen, we may say, it's hard sitting there again with these guys on the phone and hearing them say, you know what, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose this. But you know what, that's what those drugs have done. You know what? That's what. And for us, it might not be drugs. For us, it might be a lying or a cheating or a stealing, or it might be something small in our lives that we're doing. It might be not tithing. It might not be giving God what's His. I don't know what sin it could be, but it's something in our lives that's causing us and hurting our relationship with God. Let me ask you this question: when is the last time you have felt like you have actually grown spiritually? Let me ask you that again. I want you to think about this. When is the last time you've actually felt like you've grown spiritually? You know, sometimes we feel, oh, well, we're in the same spot. Sometimes maybe you've been in a rut for a long time. When is the last time you've grown? Listen, this sin, it could cost you relationships. It could cost you relationship with God. It could cost you relationship with your family. Sin will drive a wedge between you and your family. After Samson's sin, we see he no longer hear any more about his family. His mother was no longer there to comfort him. His father, who taught him many things, could no longer help him. Sin will cost you your family. Sin will keep you longer than you intend to stay. It will take you farther than you want to pay. It will cost you more than you're willing to pay. Just ask Achan. Just ask Achan. In the story of Achan, we see this. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You may say, oh, guess what? I got away with it. But how much is that sin going to affect your family? You don't realize it, but if you look at a lot of the stories in the Bible, the sin not only affected them, King David, King Saul, but it affected their family too. Listen, get in the wrong barbershop, it will cost you many relationships. Lastly, it could cost you your life. It could cost you your life. Being in the wrong place has consequences. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now realize that sin will destroy you. There is a price for your sin. And listen, yes, that price is death. If we're saved, praise the Lord, we're going to go to heaven. But listen, that doesn't mean that once you're saved, you have to stop living like the Christian that God wants you to be in your life. And there's many things that can happen in our lives. And listen, we have a world of a lot of okay Christians. We need a lot more good Christians. We need a lot more Christians that are actually doing the work of what a Christian is supposed to do. Going to the barbershop is actually something that I kind of look forward to. It's nothing like the dentist. I have certainly found which barbers I like. I usually go back to the same one all the time now. Growing up, we usually went to the same barber for many, many years. Why? Because we knew he would do a good job. Listen, if a barber messed up my hair, it would be very hard for me to go back to that barber. But understand, once your hair is messed up, there's no going back. The same is true with the devil's barbershop. Once you start to dabble in sin, it is very hard to stop. Pretty soon you will find yourself paying a mighty heavy cost. Is it worth it to you? Is it worth it to lose your name? Listen, I'm sure there are adults that wish they could go back to being you kids' age. You have your life all in front of you. Listen, I heard someone say once, you only get to do this thing once. Your life. You only get to live it once. What are you going to do with it? Listen, it's not too late. It doesn't matter. You still have time where you're still breathing and you're leaving here. And you know what? Someone may walk out these doors right now and may go out to dinner and may lead someone to the Lord for all I know tonight. What a blessing that would be. It doesn't matter how old you are. God can use you whatever age you're at. But he also has an enemy. And the devil who is trying to tear your name. A name is something you should treasure. It's worth treasuring. Is it worth the cost of your freedom? Don't give Satan the opportunity to rob your freedom. Is it worth your vision? I'm talking about your spiritual vision. Let me say this. Be accountable to someone. Is it worth the cost of your relationships? No one wants to be a person living in sin. Is it worth the cost of your own life? All it takes is one decision and your life can be ruined. Tonight, please, I beg of you, realize none of the things the devil has to offer at his barbershop are worth the pain you will endure. It is a mighty heavy cost. If you haven't, I challenge you, give your life over to Jesus. Choose wisely. Don't go to the wrong barbershop. Every head bowed, eyes closed.